message to get out there.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Candy here. I am your mindscape artist, helping you change your mind one thought at a time. And I am here with Bob Eden. And I ran across Bob, Bob Eden ran across the broadcast last week when I was talking with Marilyn Brooks. And he gave such good insight in such a short period of time that I couldn't resist asking him to come to the show, because Bob just represents the energy that I am aligned with and that I would like to align everyone else with, and that is finding the power within you in order to overcome some of the things and obstacles that we perceive that are there and moving beyond them and expanding our consciousness. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Bob Eden. Also, I want to let you know that he does have a Facebook group that I want him to discuss. So listen out for that as he moves through his presentation and his story. All right? All right, Bob, how are you?
I'm awesome, and my life is awesome, for I create it that way. Dan, 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 dan. I've got an amazing intellect and an amazing sense of humor. But, yeah, I'll start off with where I am now, what's driving my life now. And for me, we are all Sue. That's S-U-E. We are all sovereign, unique, and equal. And I'll say it again. We are all sovereign, unique, and equal. And everything else just flows from that. And for me, the universe operates under the KISS principle. Keep it simple, sovereign. So I am sovereign, and I am my own kingdom, and I am king of my own kingdom, and I am responsible for my needs. And so what I'll be sharing today is simply my personal life experience, my story, and the results of over 30 years of research. So you won't be getting any opinions from me, because for me, all opinions are worthless, even this one. They are like hearsay evidence in court. They have no merit. And also, I don't give advice. How can I? Because we're all unique and equal, you know?
Yeah.
I think that the heart, your heart's going to find the way. So I am master and commander of my life, and I take full responsibility for this life that I do create. And as master and commander, I set my life purpose to be, to simply find my own truth. And how do I know what is my truth? Whatever resonates with my heart, that becomes my truth. And also, as master and commander, I set my conscious life intention to be, I am simply here to have a gentle, joyful, loving, healthy, and abundant life. And that is exactly how my life is unfolding. So I have no fear of the future, because my future unfolds in alignment with that conscious life intention that I've set. So I've got the universe doing all the work for me. And if you want to use this as a tool, the I am here to have, and you can string anything you like after that. The I am here to have is my direct command to the universe, but it's also my address to the universe. So the universe knows where to deliver it. So, right, I'll go into my brief life story of my how I dealt with depression. I had a very, very violent childhood. There was lots of violence in our family. How can I put it? Yeah, I survived as a child. I survived. I developed survival skills that were appropriate in that environment. But I ended up carrying them with me into adult life. Anyway, I was born in 52. I'm 68 now. In 1984, November, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and my arms and legs were moving, and you know, I was having what was my first panic attack, and that freaked my wife out, and I wasn't too pleased with it either. I thought, what the hell's going on here? So went to see the doctor. He's a lovely doctor. He delivered my son, and he put me on benzodiazepines, antidepressants. And that began a cycle of over 20 years of going to see counsellors and psychiatrists and psychologists and taking all the medications. And so, like, you know, so many millions of other people, I was locked into the Western ideology of how to treat depression. And then one day, you know, as I said, I've got an amazing intellect. My IQ is 150 and Einstein was 160, so go figure. And I'd spent 20 years trying to think my way out of depression, and I couldn't. But one day I just sat down and asked myself this question: Bob, what's the longest relationship you've ever had in your life? And the answer was obvious. The longest relationship was with me. So, ergo, I'm the only expert on my life. Why am I listening to other people telling me there's something wrong with me? Let's sit with this pain. Let's have a look at this pain. So I sat with the pain, and the light bulb went off. And he was like, for me, the pain of depression was just a natural human loving response to having to live in such a corrupt and unhuman society as a wage slave. That was part of it. And the second ingredient was I wasn't living the person I was born to be. I was living the life of what society expected of me. So how did I heal that? Now, this next bit, this is the most powerful work I've ever done. I realized I could not change my past, but I could go back and heal it. So I went back. Using the works of John Bradshaw and his inner child stuff. Love the man. Rest in peace. He is an absolute angel and a forerunner in the field. So I went back and sat in my heart in my childhood and just got in touch with how I felt as a child. And I was frightened all the time because I never knew when I was going to get hit. So the message I got from Mum, who was just randomly violent, was, Mum's always beating me, therefore she does not love me, therefore I'm unlovable, and it's all my fault. And then the second message I got from Mum was, and the world's a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. And then Dad was a mythical creature. He got up and went to work before I got up in the morning, and he came home in the evening after I'd gone back to bed. So the message I got from Dad was, Dad never spends any time with me, therefore he does not love me, and it's all my fault.
Right.
And so,
and
there's no coincidences. Things happen synchronistically for me. And it was about, I started this work in 1990. It was about 94. I was working with a counsellor in Fremantle, and I think she gave me this expression that, like, if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. And I began to realize that, well, I'm jumping the gun. This is the most hardest thing I've ever done. So I sat down and wrote the letter to Mum. Dear Mum, your loving son Bob here, just writing to tell you how it felt for me growing up as a child in our family. And I thought it was going to be two or three pages, but it ended up being like War and Peace. Anyway, I hated it when you beat me with a carpet sweeper. I hate it when you dangled me by a wrist and beat me with a saucepan, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I just got it all out. And there was pages and pages of it. And then I signed it, just telling you my story, your loving son, Bob. And then I posted it back to Mum in England. I'm in Australia. Eventually, I got a letter back from Mum saying, oh, Bobby, you must think I'm the worst mother in the whole world, but I was only doing my best. And I wrote back to Mum and said, Mum, this is not about blame. This is about telling you my story. Tell me your story. So eventually, I got a letter back from Mum, and she was born in Germany between the wars in 1924. Dad was an alcoholic, and Mum was a control freak. Her cousins were in the SS, or they were shot. She had a horrific childhood too. And then the light bulb went off again when I suddenly realised that, yes, Mum was doing her best, but all she was doing was dumping on me what got dumped on her. And so I realised that we are all victims of victims, and if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. So by writing that letter to Mum, I'd actually broken the multi-generational cycle of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of days later, after I got the letter from Mum, I phoned her in England, and she was back in hospital with a second incidence of bowel cancer, 20 years apart, you know. And I managed to get through to her on the phone. And that was the first time we spoke as mother and son, as two adults together. And, you know, there were tears both sides of the pond. It was such a beautiful discussion. And then it was also a beautiful closure, because the following day she died. And it was like somebody took an elephant off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm walking around. Oh, wow. But hey, hang on. I've still got a niggle here in my shoulder. What's this niggle? Right, Dad, you bastard. So I got the notepad out and wrote a letter to Dad. He'd already died. I didn't know where or when, but I, you know, wrote, "Dear Dad, why didn't you never spend any time with me? Why did you never play football with me? Why did you, you know?" I just got it all out, vomited it all out, and signed it, "Your loving son, Bob." Put it in an envelope, put the address on it, "To Dad in Heaven," and burned it. And so it was in that way that I'd handed back the abuse and the trauma that I'd suffered as a child, because I did not deserve to be treated that way. I deserved to be loved, cherished, nurtured and guided. But that really was, you know, the foundational work from then. But I'm still taking these antidepressants, and I spent a lot of my adult life in research, so I've got that sort of mind. So I compiled a database of all the antidepressants I had taken, and they've all got a common denominator, which is they all produce feelings of anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts. And I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. These folks don't want cures, they want customers, you know.
So, right.
You know, yeah. And in the research I've done, which is going back to 1984, not one psychiatrist or psychologist has ever claimed to have cured anybody, and they never will, because they only work with the mind.
Yeah.
And that pain of depression is a wound of the heart, is a wound of the soul.
Right.
So, you know, you can't, I couldn't think my way out of it. I had to feel my way.
Yeah.
So five or six years ago, I was living on my boat out in the bay here, and I decided to just throw the pharmaceuticals away and sit there with my feelings. In the meantime, I'd learned how to switch my mind off. I'll talk about that later, because my mind is just a tool that I use when I choose, for I am so much more than my mind. So I'm sitting on my boat, and I just allowed all the feelings that were in my body and had been trapped for so long to come up. So I cried for weeks. I shouted myself hoarse.
Wow.
I ranted. I stamped. I let my body shake, whatever it needed to do. And this is not the sort of thing you want to do in a supermarket, because you get locked up.
Right.
But luckily, I was out on about, and what came out of that for me was, feelings are healings.
Yes.
Feelings are healings. It was my through feeling that I managed to heal that wound. And now I totally listen to my body. When my body's tired, we sleep. And when my body's awake, we play. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, sovereign. You know? But also, so, you know, I know it's all about love and peace, and I'm an old hippie. I was marching for Ban the Bomb in 1969. But for me, psychiatrists just give you drugs to medicate the pain, to distance you from your feelings. And psychologists just give you coping skills so that you can live with the pain of depression, and also the pain of taking the antidepressants. You know, none of them offers a cure, and they never will. And for me, they are committing legalized murder, you know. And people can do their own research, you know, don't shoot the messenger. Stephen Molyneux's got a great presentation on the topic. There is no such thing as mental illness. There are just research, the scam of psychiatry, you know. And that's what I love about the birth of the internet now. Everybody's got access to all the information on the planet. Mm. And so that's amazing. Yeah, that's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's all I do. I haven't had a television. I haven't had a TV or television since 1995. Why? Because it's full of programs.
Get yes, it is. It sure is. That's what everybody is being programmed by right now.
Yeah.
Everybody is so programmed by the coronavirus and the elections and it's just overwhelming.
Well, you know, they call it a pandemic. It's got a fatality rate of somewhere between 1% and 2%. And what people don't realize is that every 40 seconds, someone dies because of depression.
Right.
Every 40 seconds.
Wow.
That's
I remember
pandemic.
You sending me that. That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But nobody's focusing on that because the pharmaceutical industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and they don't want to kill the cash cow. I was talking to my pharmacist the other day, and said, "Yeah, you're in the health business," and he said, "No, we're not. My business is disease management." So they know they're not curing people. They're just managing diseases. Keep you long enough so you can spend all your money on expensive treatments like chemo and when there are natural remedies out there.
Well, you know, I was thinking when you were talking, I had done a series on the problem with solving problems. And we live in a world that is not wanting you to solve a problem. So when you solve a problem, especially if you solve a problem outside of yourself, because that's where the main problem solving goes, is inside yourself. But if you come up with a cure, if you come up with a solution how everybody can have power without paying or water without paying or, you know, cure for cancer or what have you, the solving the problem stops revenue and managing the problem creates revenue. So they want to create that revenue coming in, so they don't want to solve the problem. But I just want to go back to something that you said about, and I told you every now and then I'll just interject with some things that you say that hit me.
We got loads of time.
Yeah. And first of all, I love I Am Here to Have. You know, I've heard it said, but when you said it, it just hit me a different way, and I've been saying it over and over in my head ever since you said it. When you were talking about your mother and her illness, and you said her illness with the bile, and astrologically, it just came in my mind that emotionally, first of all, the bile holds anger, resentment, and frustration. And whenever people have issues with their organs, I always look at the correlating emotions, and she had an awful lot of that in her. And I noticed that we've also had a lot of people coming up with their colon rupturing and digestive problems. Aside from all of the pesticides that are eating us inside out, I think that there is also an emotional component on the planet of frustration and issues that are, you know, causing people problems with their digestive system. And the digestive system has so many neurons in it, and our emotions drive our digestive system so greatly that when we stay in an emotional stupor for so long, it depresses that digestive system, and we have all kinds of issues. And one thing I wanted to ask you is, where was the brick wall of your survival? Because you said you had these survival skills when you were younger that got you through, but when you got older and you realized, okay, I'm out of that situation, these survival skills aren't working anymore. Now I want to have normal relationships. I want to get along in life normally. I'm on this medication. Where was your brick wall, and how did you overcome that?
Okay. my wicked sense of humor. The last thing I ever wanted to be, darling, is normal. I'm quite happy being weird and unique.
Right. Well, I'm weird, but you know what I mean. Normal for you. Because you were outside of your norm, and you were kind of pulled outside of yourself, and you were getting back to you. So how did you do that?
Well, it was, again, out on the boat one night. And it's about 7:30 at night, so it's dark up here in the tropics. And I was on my laptop, on my dog's Facebook page. That always gets a giggle, because I like looking at the world through the eyes of my dog. And all of a sudden, the lights went dim. And I looked over at the volt meter. No, plenty of volts. And I couldn't breathe. And just to the left of my vision, there was this black, wispy, silky presence. And I thought, hello, old friend. I thought, oh, the Grim Reaper's come to get me. It's all over, Red Rover.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
I've seen this before, you know, in my life. I've faced my death probably about a dozen times. Anyway, so I just typed into the Facebook, hey, guys, if I don't post anything in the next 30 minutes, please get Marine Rescue to come out and get Barnaby, because, you know, he wouldn't have anything to eat after he'd eaten me. So I don't know if you've been in a near-death experience, but time stops or time becomes irrelevant. What seemed like ages. So I just sat down, got in touch with my body. What am I going to do here? So I stood up, and I'm naked, as you do on a boat in the tropics, and I got up on deck. And I looked up at the sky, and I could see two full moons. And so I just leapt into the bay, and I'm surrounded by mangrove trees where crocodiles live. It's after dark when sharks feed. And so I just leapt into the ocean and lay on my back and spread out like a great big starfish. And then all of a sudden, I could breathe again.
Mm.
And that was the night I consciously chose to bet my life on trusting my intuition, my inner knowing. That was the true rite of passage. And that's something that doesn't happen in Western societies anymore.
Yeah.
You know, all tribal cultures, when a child reached a certain age, was taken through a rite of passage to move from being a teenager into being a spiritual and emotional adult. And that no longer happens, you know. And most of those rituals involved either, you know, diving off a tall cliff into the ocean or leaping off a tree with a vine round your leg. So those rites of passage no longer occur. So in Western society, what we've got is a load of 60-year-olds, 6-year-olds. You know, they're still stamping their little feet when they don't get their own way, you know. Yeah. But
that
what I would like
so
to
true.
Say is because we're all unique and equal, I found what works for me. And, you know, and the only reason I share my story is the hope that some of the lessons I've learned and some of the tools that I've found will resonate with other people. But the biggest thing was I was really angry when I realized the deception of the pharmaceutical industry. But then the anger was compounded by, well, everything my parents taught me was rubbish. Everything I learned at school, and school's not an education system, it's an indoctrination system. They don't want free-thinking, aware adults. They want robotic parrots that keep
That's
the
right.
money treadmill going.
Mm-hmm.
But by questioning everything, you know, and then finding what resonates with my heart has allowed me to, yeah, to simply find my own truth. So, you know, I am living my life purpose.
Well, Bob, how old were you when that moment came? What age were you
when
jumped out of the boat and when you...
When skinny dipping, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably about 60.
16. Okay, that's pretty young.
Six.
Yeah.
Six zero.
Oh, 60. Okay. Oh, that was just recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I wanted to know that because... Go ahead.
Yeah, I started to wake up really in 1990. That's when
okay.
I got into, you know, personal growth work and ran support
So right
groups.
Around 30?
No. 52 to 90, that makes me what? 38.
Oh, you know. Mhm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always interested in cycles and how we cycle. You know, life is just about cycles. We have these clocks and we have these things, but we know time is pretty much an illusion, but cycles are pretty real. You know, they, you know, when we go along with the cycle of our body and when we are ready to turn the ship around or take control, like you say. You know, you're the captain of your own ship or the master of your life. And when you decide that, it's when you're ready. You know, sometimes we want to evangelize people, and I like your approach of, you know, just sharing your story and not trying to convince anybody of anything, because I noticed that convincing breeds resentment. And resistance, rather, because people feel like if they're not awakened or if they're in a state of depression or something is going on with them, the first thing we want to do is pull them out of it, you know. And I always tell people sometimes you got to see where people are, because some people aren't ready, you know, to move at that moment. And if you're way here and you've had your awakening period and you see somebody deep in the throes of there where they are, and you immediately yank them out of that because you don't want to see them hurt, or you want to end their pain, or you want to convince them that there's this better place, better life, that, you know, if you do that too soon, if you jolt them, if you push them, sometimes you may even be interfering with their growth, their experience, because everyone kind of has to experience this thing for themselves. And then I notice is that at each level that we awaken, the portal opens for us to connect with people on our levels. And you're like,
yeah,
oh, wow, you
respond?
Too? You too? You know.
Can I respond?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, after the healing the wounds of childhood, the next major task I embarked on was deprogramming myself from codependent behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one phrase that got me out of that, and that was, unsolicited advice is abuse. Now, going back to Sue, we're all sovereign, unique, and equal, in my own journey, I have found that when I'm struggling the most is when I learn the most. But it's mm-hmm. also the time that the rescuers arrive. I know what you need to do, mate. You need to do blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, sorry, mate, but I'm here to live my life my way, not your way. If you want to be a true friend, be around when I put my hand up and I ask for help.
Right.
You know, codependency is insidious in Western society, you know. And there is a fine line between caretaking and caregiving.
Yes. Oh, you know? My.
Rescuers like to feel good because, you know, oh, I've just rescued that person, you know, so I must be a good person. And what's just popped into my mind is going back to the Bible, and I'm not religious. For me, all religions are about control. They even call you the flock. But the Bible's got some gems in it, you know, and it was written by man, edited by man. But that phrase, I am the way, the truth, the light. Mm-hmm. Now, that for me was not the claim of Christ. The message from Christ there is, I am the way, the truth, the light. Yes, me and you and you and you and you. For the kingdom of heaven resides within. And that's where I found all my own answers. Within the silence of my heart, I found a place I call my knowing, and my knowing has no words, but that's where my contentment lives within me. I found all my solutions, and that's S-O-U-L, solutions, within my heart. The mind and the tool, how I silenced my mind was... I work in pictures, you know, I like pictures and movies, and I just read Shakti Gawain on creative visualization, and so on the inside of my forehead, that's my inner movie screen, if you like, I created this movie. I'm running down this dark tunnel with fluorescent lights in the ceiling, like a James Bond movie, you know, dun, 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 dun. And I come to these two big glass doors. On the other side of the glass doors is the computer room of the mind. So as I approach the doors, they slide open, and I can hear the dark satanic hum of the hard drives of my mind. Over on the right-hand side, on the wall there, there's a big red switch. So I wander over, and above the switch, somebody has posted a notice saying, beware, thinking can seriously damage your well-being. So I just grab hold this big red switch in my mind and went kerclunk and turned it off. And so the hard drive stopped slowing down. Now I played that movie over and over and over and over and over again till I came to the realization that my mind is just a tool that I use when I choose, for I am so much more than my mind. Now I treat my mind like I treat my little puppy dog Barnaby.
Yeah.
When my mind gets feisty, I say, "Oh, mind, now you go off and do some research on sonoluminescence or whatever, and come back and report to me." So off it goes, wagging its little tail because it's had some attention from the master, which is me. It comes back and reports to me, and I pat it on the head and say, "Thank you, mind. You're a good boy. You've done a good job. Now back in your basket. Here's a treat. I'll take you for a run tomorrow." And that's how I treat my mind, you know. And I've noticed that if my life ever gets complicated, it's because the mind has slipped back into the driving seat. So I just reach in, grab it by the scruff of the neck, throw it in the trunk, and put my heart back in the driving seat, and my life becomes simple again. Keep it simple, sovereign. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other line I like from the Bible was Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Well, they're not in my garden, I've got my own garden. They got kicked out of paradise for eating from the tree of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that says to me is the pursuit of knowledge was the original sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within my heart, I have found this place I call my knowing. And my knowing has no words, but it's within that place I have found a place I call the universal library of all that there is to know. And that's where I get these downloads, these little downloads from. You know, like feelings are healings. You know, my mind is just a tool that I use when I choose. What came through today? Humanity is insane. Peace mm-hmm. costs nothing. War is making beggars of us all. You know, just, you know.
Oh, dear.
But what I like about the prevalence of depression in our society is the evolution of consciousness is exponential, and we've just turned the corner. And the Mayans predicted this, you know. They predicted the dawning of the Age of Integrity, and that would begin on the 20th of December 2012. So we're entering into the Age of Integrity. Integrity is overcoming power. But going back to that statement, the evolution of consciousness is exponential. The growth rate of suicide is exponential. Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, the growth rate of the sales of antidepressants is exponential.
Yeah.
Go figure. But what that says to me is more and more people across the planet are feeling this pain of depression. And therefore, there's more chance of other people coming to the same realization that I did. And I'm not alone. You know, there are lots of people out there that are having the same awakening, that are waking up and realizing that, as John Bradshaw said, the biggest sin of anyone is not to become all that you were born to be. Love that man. So many people
really
waking
like
up.
Him. I'm glad you brought him up because he just recently died about 4 years ago or so, and it reawakened in me all of the work that he had done and had led people
yeah.
through the journey of the child self, and I really enjoyed his work and how he did his thing and then he left. You know, he really fulfilled his purpose. And he left a good legacy.
There's a Facebook group called Homecoming dedicated to his work. There's a lovely group of people there.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. And for me, it's, you know, how do I put it? I'll go back. I am the only expert on my life. For me, there are no gurus. You are your only and own guru.
And when you say that to people, I notice that people get really defensive because they think that you are denying the power of God. But for me, it's actually embracing the power of God. I think when you hand your power over to somebody else and say, here, do this for me, I can't do it, you're actually denying the power. You're actually doing the very thing that they claim that you're doing when you claim it. And people get so mixed up. And when you were talking about the Bible, it reminded me of leaning not to thine own understanding, but with all thy heart acknowledge him, which is the him that's inside of you, with your heart. So leave the mind, go into the heart, acknowledge the power within, and, you know, it just, you know, it makes everything, like you say, so much easier when you look at the Bible with you in the middle. I mean, you're in it. You're in it. It's not talking about something out there. It's talking about something in here. And it just makes it come to life. It makes it fun. It makes it wondrous. And it makes it powerful. And when you try to live that, people get very, very confused. And they say, oh, you don't believe in God. Well, where is God? What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I'm living this thing. I'm walking it, and I'm proving it that it works. So how much more can you do than that, you know?
Well, for me, God created man. Man created religion. When I connect to source, I don't go the long way round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cut through.
I've got my own direct connection to creation. And as far as creation or consciousness goes, I just view myself as a raindrop in the ocean of creation. I'm well aware of the ebb and flow of consciousness, but I still know the raindrop that is me. And I believe that everybody has a piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a jigsaw puzzle. And as more people colour in their own piece of the jigsaw puzzle, the more the whole picture becomes clearer. So the more people that do the work, you know, yeah, the greater our common understanding will be. And I don't like the use words. I don't like using words like thinking and understanding anymore, because thinking always gets back to the mind, you know. And
right.
Humanity seems to be worshipping science, and science is trying to explain creation. Well, it never will. It never
right.
will, because the mind is just, you know, a product of creation. It's like,
yeah, that's
how
right.
How can my iPhone explain me?
Right. And when you said thinking your way out of depression, when you're thinking, you're looping. Because the only decision that's to be made is to, you know, say, I want to do something about this. That's about as far as the mind can go. I want to do something about this. And then after that, it's all about feeling your way through and saying, okay, I've run from these feelings. Now I have to come out of my head and into my heart and let the light of my heart lead the way, because it's always there. You know, I didn't leave you. You left me. I'm with you always. So it's always there. And when people are in the head, they're in ego. Why is this happening to me? What did I do? I was so terrible. I don't deserve this. And you're trying to figure that part out. And anything that normally happens to us really has nothing to do with us. We're kind of in the way of other people's stuff sometimes, where, you know, you're in the line of fire, it happens, you have your lesson to learn as a result of it, and you kind of move on. But it's like when you stay stuck in that analyzing, you know, why did this happen? It's you're already off into Wonderland somewhere, and you're moving away from yourself when you do that. So I like the way that you said, you know, you couldn't think your way out of it anymore.
Well, for me, how can I put it? Several years ago, probably about 2005, I became a ship's captain, and you know, I took a boat out, and it hit me. Bugger, Bob, the buck stops with you. You are responsible for the lives of these people on the vessel. You're responsible for the safety of the vessel. You're even responsible for the vibe, you know, the energy on the boat. And I was watching Master and Commander, Russell Crowe movie at that time, and all I did was take that ideology of the buck stops with me and apply it to my whole life. So that is when I became master and commander of my life, and I took full responsibility for everything that happens in my life. Now, events occur in my life, and there's no good or bad, just events. And my response to the events is, I've created this event. What is the lesson I need to learn here? Now, 3 or 4 years ago, Cyclone Debbie came through here and picked up my boat and threw it at the land. And that was my home. That was everything. And on the Saturday, as the storm was approaching, I tried to get the engine going. I couldn't because there was water in the fuel. And I sprained my wrist trying to hand start the engine. And eventually, I just did the best I could for the boat, grabbed my two dogs, got in the dinghy, came ashore, and found safe haven. And people are going, oh, Bob, you've lost everything. And my reply was, Yeah, but wasn't it an amazing experience to live through a Category 5 cyclone, to see shipping containers being blown down the road, and to witness Mother Nature at her boldest and brassiest. But when I sat down in my quiet time and said, well, what's the lesson I need to learn here, Bob? And the lesson I learned from that event that I, you know, created in my life was to simply let go of the attachment to things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reckon I paid a fair price for such a valuable lesson. Now, I have things in my life, but their only merit is their utility. You know, I've got what's important to me, my two little dogs, and my sense of humour.
Right.
And I'm no saint. I'm no saint, you know. I probably drink too much. I smoke too much. I exercise about as much as a koala bear. But I'm content with me. I'm content with me, and that is priceless. Nobody can do anything to me. Nobody's got jurisdiction over me. We're all equal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and only, as you said earlier, only ego claims to speak for all. Hey, nobody speaks for me, only me.
Well, let me ask you to do this. Let me ask you to do this before I let you go, Bob. I want you to tell everybody where you're from, where you're calling from. We didn't do that. Where are you calling from?
I was born in the UK, but I'm calling from the Whitsunday Islands in Australia. So that's probably, 16 hours ahead or 14 hours ahead from you.
Yeah, you're my future.
I am your future. It's a region of amazing natural beauty in the Whitsunday group of islands. We've got 74 islands up here. Most of them, the majority of them, are untouched. They're all natural park. There's a few that have been sort of commercialized, but not many. And then just out beyond that, we've got the Great Barrier Reef, you know, the biggest living organism on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Barrier Reef is spawning, the energy here is amazing. The energy of creation is amazing. And July, all the whales come up here to give birth and train their young before they head to head down to Antarctic to feed up again for the next season. So they're here for 4 or 5 months. And, and I do not own a pair of shoes.
Wow.
I like to walk
Amazing.
My talk. I like being connected to the earth. Why would you insulate yourself from the planet, you know?
Yeah, electromagnetic. You can get grounded that way so much easier. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, and I could go on and on. And we definitely must do this again. I'm going to have to bring this to an end and do my last little 10 minutes of ending here. But you have been so encouraging. And is there any last words you want to say before we end the broadcast here?
Yeah. If anybody at all would like to contact me, just look for Bob Eden on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And your group, tell us about that.
The group's called The Gift of Depression. And look, Candy, look at the initials of that. I only spotted it the other day. The Gift of Depression, TGOD. Now, if that's not synchronicity, I do not know.
Wow. Hey?
Divine
guidance,
eh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Bob, thank you so much for sharing yourself with us today. And I will definitely have you on again. We're going to talk about a wide range of things. And feel free to call in. I'm going to be posting and things like that and give your opinion, even though you say what opinions are. I'm still going to say share your energy. I'll put it like that. How about that?
Yeah, share my insights.
Share your insights. Okay. All right, Bob. Thank you so much for joining us. You have a wonderful rest of the morning for you, okay?
Thanks, darling. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye. Okay, y'all. I just enjoyed talking to Bob. You know, when he came on last week and he spoke, it just resonated with me so strongly. And when he brought up, when we brought up the topic of the mind, it's so imperative that we do understand that leaning not to thine own understanding and acknowledge and understanding that acknowledgement and understanding comes from the mind, but acceptance comes from the heart. So this text says to me that when we are not leaning to the mind's own understanding, but we are to trust with our heart if we want to reach our destiny, because the mind creates these loops that I had mentioned earlier that we get stuck in. And when we get stuck in those loops, fear is setting in, because the mind is designed to keep us safe, so to speak. So if you look at an example such as cooking, you know the stove is hot. That's the mind. But you overcome your fear of hot or getting burned. You know, if you can get, but you see a fire and you say, oh, my goodness, I could get burned from that, right? Well, you know that that fire can burn you. But what a mother does, or a caregiver, or a soul person does who wants to feed people, they overcome their fear of the fire, and they use the fire to warm the food, to cook the food, and to edify others. That's moving from the head of knowing that the fire can burn and moving into the heart and soul of knowing what that fire can actually do to move an agenda forward for the edification of others. And this is the difference between staying in the mind and moving into the soul. And when you talk about depression, depression is literally being stuck in the mind. Well, the mind is such a command center. It's attached to the nervous center. You stay depressed enough, it sends messages to the nervous center. We create these pathways, and then you see these pathways that are etched in our brains and in our bodies, and then it becomes a part of us, and we feel like this moment, that something that started out as a moment turned into an event, turned into this experience, turned into a whole personality. It has an entity all of itself. And then you feel like, I can't get rid of this. And then, like Bob says, you go to medication to squash down the monster, right? And in my last video episode, I was talking about the shadow and how to deal with the shadow, because the shadow is anything that you want to push down, that you want, that you feel ashamed of. Oh, I feel so ashamed for feeling this way. Well, the moment you feel shame and guilt for feeling some way, you're feeding it. You're feeding it, and it grows, and it gets bigger. And then the next thing you know, it's bigger than you, and then you're finding yourself reaching outside of yourself for somebody to come and rescue you. And then the only thing they can do is look at your shadow and tell you how to hide it, tell you how to tie it up, how to bind it, tell you how to feed it all kind of negative things. And then the shadow still never goes away. And the only one who can actually integrate this shadow is you, because I always talk about shadow integration, because you don't ever necessarily get rid of anything. You learn how to live with it. You learn how to use it to your advantage. You learn how to change your perception around it, thus changing the whole energy and the construct and the frequency around it. And then the next thing you know, it is something else, right? So it's like the big bad wolf turned into a little puppy. And you're like, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was. It wasn't so bad after all. It didn't have to be that bad. Why did I put myself through that? you know, guilt and shame. You're not supposed to be feeling that way. Shame on you for feeling that way or thinking that way or being that way. And then it starts that whole loop again. So when Bob talks about just moving from the head into the heart and how the heart has such a higher frequency and how its vibrations can reach so much further out in front of you than the frequency and the waves of the brain. You know, it's 10 times more powerful than the frequency, 60 times more powerful than the frequency of the brain when you move to the heart. So can you imagine living in that heart space and pushing those waves out in front of you where they literally part the Red Sea for you as you can walk through and you can say, wow, this isn't so bad after all. But the moment you get into that head, almost like Peter walking on water, you know, you get out there, you walk on water, which is symbolic of emotion, and you are able to master that sea, those emotions, and you're able to walk on them. But as soon as you go back to your head and say, look at me, I'm walking on water. Look at me. What does everybody think of me? Aren't I great? You begin to sink. You begin to lose focus. You begin to start to, you know, get inside of ego. And you just detach from yourself. It's a moving away from the self and taking yourself out there. And there's really nothing out there. Everything is in here. So this was just a very, very refreshing conversation. And I hope it gives hope to those who may be struggling with depression, who want to think of alternative ways, who want to minimize your medication. I would never tell anybody to get off medication, but anybody who is thinking of minimizing their meds or coming up with alternative ways of thinking, you know, reach out to people who have gone there, who've been there, who've tried things, who've tested things. And like Bob says, everything works for different people. You kind of have to figure out what your thing is. And it's the fun is in the journey as well, and understanding that as you are on the journey of healing and expanding and growing, that, you know, that's where all of the power is. You know, somebody hands you something and everything just disappears. You never really get to learn anything about yourself. This is a learning about you. You already know about you, but you're being reminded of who you are, your power that you have within to heal yourself and exploring and connecting with people on different levels and new going to new heights is the exciting part, and then being able to share it. For those who are at that level, they're going to grab right on it, and they're going to say, tell me what you know. They're going to take what you share with them, they're going to put it with what they know, and then they're going to be able to share it with somebody else. This is what it's all about. It's not about, like Bob said, being codependent. Oh, I need to help this person. I need to help everybody. I need to let everybody know what's what and what's going on, because everybody's not going to be awakened to it at the same time. But you can still touch people and you can still make changes, but it's definitely from within inside of you. So continue to reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. I know you can do it. Bye.